You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Good morning.
What up, what up, what up?
Back at it.
We were back at it last week, but we had some technical difficulties.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that was tuning in last week online that did hear us.
Yes.
And anyone that was tuning in the FM and didn't hear us.
We apologize.
Apologies have been issued. We're moving on. No.
Oh.
We apologize.
Wow. Okay.
Good morning, fiancés.
Good morning, fiancés. How are we today?
Oh.
Now I don't have to do the, where is everybody?
No.
You know? I'm going to wait. I'm going to try and be patient.
You don't have to. You don't have to wait.
I don't have to wait.
Rudo jumped right in.
Rudo! Good morning!
Rudo said, good morning, X-Ray fam. I missed you. What's good? Rudo, we had a little, you know?
We missed you, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking some smack last week because I felt like my friends weren't here. Where are my fiancés? And then we found out we weren't on the air.
Yeah.
We did. We missed you all.
Yeah.
You did. What's good? Oh. Things?
Yeah. Things. Lots of things.
I think there are good things happening.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, just. I'm a little bit, I think this week has been tough for me to have a good outlook on 2023.
Is it politics or other things happening on social media?
It's literally everything.
Everything.
And I think we're just not coming to terms with the fact that there has been it has been brutal, relentlessly brutal.
Yeah.
For what feels like almost 3 years. And I mean, is it almost 3 years? It feels like 10. But I don't know. I don't think that I'm like breaking down or anything.
Right.
But I think there are times where the weight of it is just like, how do we get out of this?
Yeah.
Because I'm just, as I disengage from certain, discourses happening online.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I don't still see them.
Right.
And I'm just like, wow, we are stuck. And has it always been this? It just wasn't, you know, so fast and in your face because of the internet. But like, was the water cooler talk? Was the friend circle? Was the, you know, was it always this bad? And I think it probably was. I don't have the...
I agree with you. I think it probably was. Hey, y'all, anyone tuning in right now, where do you get your news? Because I'm curious. I know first thing in the morning, and I wasn't like this before. Twitter. Bam. I go to, Explore or search on Twitter. Excuse me. See what's trending. Boom, boom, boom. And that sometimes leads me to search for things on Instagram. I'm never searching for anything on Facebook. Never. It's just too many scams and too many people that should not be on the internet on Facebook.
I just want to say that for a solid
mm-hmm.
3 years, I have said to you, can I please get off of Facebook?
I know, but you know.
And you were like, absolutely not. And anybody listening right now, if you're asking, why would Morgan ask somebody if she can do that?
Yeah.
Because there are certain things I was working on.
Yeah.
And
still are working on.
I believe it's called building an audience.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. People tuned in waiting. For content.
But can you on the radio say hellscape?
Yeah, you can.
Hit the dumb button if not.
No.
It is such it's a minefield.
It's hard to navigate sometimes, man.
And it's the kind of thing that, like, it's not that I have a lot of, that I personally have a lot of issues on that their app. But it's right for everything. It's literally all of the things. You know, my mom's getting fished. Someone's getting scammed. the thing over there is happening. And then there's a whole faction of that app that just N-word, you know, hard R.
Yeah.
All the
super racist.
And everybody's one of those to those folks. So, you know, I mean, I really want no parts. Then all of the actual terrible things that go on behind the scenes there. I don't even like to open the app.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you.
I quiet quit. Oh.
So news, Twitter and YouTube primarily right now.
Okay.
Is where I'm going for the news. I'm curious where you guys are grabbing your news from. I mean, other than that, it's a trusted source. That's why I know you.
Rudolph be knowing. That. He said the stations be acting up.
That new staple spot is at Bridge City. He says to no one in general. Over the pandemic, I found, okay, Pac-Man and YouTube. On YouTube and Hartman. Okay.
Okay. I mess with David Pac-Man.
Yeah. You mess with David Pac-Man.
Yeah, he is more of a, I don't want to call him center because he's not center, but he is, there's part of David that is definitely still like decorum.
And, over everything.
And it is important to debate correctly. And learned over the pandemic that there's no such thing.
Mm-mm.
Not when you're debating with people who don't know what debate means.
No.
And they just.
No.
Scream, you know, right wing talking points at you that aren't even things. They're not even real.
At so all. Then
you're going in this circle. He is good at cutting that off. Like, I mess with David. I like David a lot.
Yeah, he is a skilled debater.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I understand why he takes pride in it. I understand why there are rules.
Yeah.
And there are points to it. And he just, you know. Is usually talking to somebody who does not know any of those things.
Right.
And so I'm like, look at you wasting all this greatness on a person who's never going to take a moment to breathe in what you're saying, no matter how nicely or eloquently or smart you say it.
They're barely aware of what they're saying.
But I do. I message with David. I like David. I like Majority Report.
Oh, yeah. MR.
That MR crew.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you guys listen to Majority Report? Sam Cedar?
Yeah, man. David Dole.
Oh. You know, the Canadians, they be doing some great American news.
Yeah, yeah.
Those leftists, Canadian leftists.
Used to rock hard with Brian Tyler, was it Green Cohen? What's his name?
Brian Tyler Cohen, yeah.
But his cadence and... the format of his videos got so monotonous that it was just like, and I'm good.
It also just was very much like, maybe this works on Twitter. Like, maybe you're roasting someone on, you know.
Killing it, bro.
But I'm hearing what you're saying, and this might as well be Joe Byron. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard pass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he started a podcast that was like, oh, even worse.
Man, and he was getting the looks. All right, okay, all right. Yes. So, thank you, Rudo. Anyone else listening? Where do you check for your news, man? Where do you check for your news? Besides us, obviously.
Rudo, real quick. Rudo said, thank you. Morgan, why do they keep trying to play by the rules when they threw the stuffs out the windows a ways back? And that's my point. Rudo, you already know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same page.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do it. We're stuck. And this is part of... Oh, Ambush has his hand up.
I have a hand up. I know why they do it.
Okay, why?
Because it's the only thing they have.
But what do you mean?
It's their branding. It's the only thing that they can perform and say, look, we did a thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because the things that they're supposed to do, they don't. Mm-hmm. But if it can at the very least say, look, we remain calm. Look, we act professionally. We are the Democratic Party. We will deliver nothing else to you. This is the product that we're... Their product is decorum.
Their product is decorum. Their product is we are nicer than.
Yep. We're not those guys. That's the product.
And that's real. It took me a long time to figure that out, honestly. That this really just is not... The fact that Rudo keeps changing his name every time he texts is killing me.
Bob Dabalina has some good points.
I wish that it was that we were actually moving towards something. Yeah. Like, I see a lot of people say things online like, well, this is going to stop progress. And I'm like, cool. When did it start?
What's the progress we're stopping?
Which part of the progress are we talking about right here? Which part? That you're going to let one word mess with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that just that alone, like, this has been record, you know, police murders of citizens.
Yeah.
And people will say that the word defund is too scary. If you don't get out of my face, is it really the word defund is scarier than the idea that we are paying for people to murder us?
Right.
I don't know. I feel like one is way scarier than the other.
Same.
And these things can't scare you so much that you are paralyzed in learning more, you know, like, for you to understand more about what's going on outside of your bubble.
Right.
But I mean, yeah. So this is, I honestly believe, just the framework for us to continue to perform at this.
Yeah.
And I don't want it.
I'm cool on it.
I want action.
I'm cool on it. We were talking earlier this week about, what was it, the January 6th something? No, something else had popped up. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to hear about it, Dems.
I think it was probably the fact that George Santos is... I don't even know at this point where we're supposed to go. There's 1,000 different names. There's a million different stories. There's all these things that daily, there's multiple things that all of a sudden come out and it means absolutely nothing because he got committee assignments for the as a congressperson.
Right. Right. Which is what they want.
Like, what?
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about any of the concerns that the Democrats on the Hill have. You will do nothing about it. Like, that's what it was. I was saying the fact that Trump has literally given them multiple criminal investigations in which to handle him. And the fact that he's still able to run, your party is completely ineffective. Completely.
Well, especially the idea that we're like, we recommend as a bipartisan committee that Congress acts and we don't allow that to happen. And here we are talking about Anthony DeVolder. You know?
Yeah.
Or documents.
Right. None of the documents.
I just, you know. I'm still, Ambush, I'm still at the, I don't know, we're not supposed to be doing this, but.
We're supposed to do whatever we want. Go ahead.
In the year of our Lord.
20 and 23s.
Joe Biden is going to run again to be El Presidente.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
And I'm having a hard time understanding how anybody thinks that's a smart move. Especially when we are seeing other places, like, shout out to Lula in Brazil, taking care of certain things.
Insurrection? Quick, fast. Oh, you're insurrectionizing?
Oh, that's what you came here for?
Okay, charges dropped. Come home, see what happens.
We're going to go ahead and put a warrant out.
Yeah.
For the absconder that's in Mar-a-Lago now.
Kicking it with Ben.
Meanwhile, you got the entirety of the Democratic Party being like, you know, how do we talk about a charge? Could you really charge a president? What is that going to mean for us later? What is it? I don't know. I mean, it's all this self-preservation that has absolutely zero to do with American people.
Right. That's like the super annoying point for me.
I don't like that I just said American people.
How can we charge a president? I'm not asking you to charge and indict the line of presidents from the past and the future. We're talking specifically about what this guy did.
Right now.
Yeah. So you think this sets a precedence. punishing him, holding him accountable, sets a precedence for that particular position of power. You know what? It might. Here's the thing, though. Somebody needs to.
What's the precedent we set if we don't?
Right.
That literally anything is fine.
Yeah.
If you are the president, you are, in fact, above the law. If you are a certain buddy of the president, you are above the law. And I'm tired of hearing every single person that gets paid a bunch of money to sit in front of a camera and read other words that other people wrote
right.
to tell you that we just can't do stuff like that.
Right.
That there is nobody's above the law. That's not what this country is about. That's not how we do. Like, what fairy tale? Who is believing that?
Right. Dog.
And especially on today, like when we get to see too much. And yes, they get to give us narratives and da-da-das mm-hmm. and, you know, frame stories certain ways all they want to. But like those kind of things, just absolutely manipulating to your face yep. of no one's above the law except for and all do the people. Except for run that list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all want to be a 24-hour news cycle? Just run the list.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
It should be like none of you.
None of you.
None of you.
All of you. To jails.
Yeah. To the jails.
To the jails.
All of
us over here, obviously, above it.
Yeah.
So I'm tired. Yeah. Right now, I am like, yesterday I had a moment where I was like, do I have to rethink everything I'm working towards right now? Because
yeah, definitely.
This it is so performative and harmful. And so I'm just like, how do we get out of the harm part?
Right. And then they try to dupe us every once in a while. They'll throw us a Weinstein. You know what I'm saying? The rich and powerful can get it too. No, He pushed the envelope to the point that the stamps flew all over. He completely burst through. This guy's crimes were a mountain that could not be ignored. Like, the fact of the matter
tried
is...
Tried as they might, though,
right.
because for decades...
Decades, bro.
Decades.
Decades.
There was a lot of turning the other cheek,
right.
a lot of looking the other way,
right.
a lot of open secret... That's the thing that kills me. All of a sudden, y'all got stories from the 50s.
Right.
Like, huh?
Weinstein, Epstein, same thing. Like, and that's even better, honestly, the Epstein situation, because a great deal of what he is known for is associating with politicians and celebrities. So there's a laundry list of things that you guys could be doing right now, a laundry list of people that you could be investigating. And we're going to put a bow on that, and it's a wrap. Like, it's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. No one's above the law. Please.
Listen, I knew that things weren't real when Brian Williams got another anchor job. Like,
yeah.
What you're not going to do is tell me that people aren't above.
It's true.
Huh?
It's true. It's true.
Mans was like, I was in a chopper during the time that the thing and the stuff, and then I got hit with a grenade, and then he took a hiatus and went right back to, now you, what?
My man said...
Does he still have a... I don't know if he still... I don't watch NBC.
I blew out both my knees as a volleyball champ at a college I never attended.
I mean, Brian Williams definitely had to walk so that George Santos could run.
It's true. It's true.
Speaking of, Rudo said, George Santos was great fighting those Mexican mummies with Blue Demon and Mill Massacres back in 73. Rowdy Rudo.
He was.
Indeed.
Yes.
Doing it all. What's funny to me, just real quick, about some of the coverage of Anthony George DeVolder Santos.
Yeah.
The pictures that they decide to use of that guy, none of them are from today. Like, absolutely none of them are from today. And it's like, I'm petty, so I find joy in it.
Of course.
But what are they doing? You guys are following him around. You have footage, you have pics, you have vids, you got all the things. But you showing me pictures from 3 years ago.
I just think it's funny how today, y'all know what he was doing 3 years ago.
Hello. No one knew while he was running.
That should have been the hottest story nationwide.
Remember his opponent?
Oh, yeah.
Was like, you know, we just didn't have the kind of bread to do some sort of like, you know, genealogy test to find out if. And okay, I feel you. And I think that, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about the way that the national heads of parties treat different races. Mm-hmm. There is no spot. There's no spot that Democrats can afford to lose.
There it is.
And so that taking the hand off the wheel, that's a brand new congressional seat. You didn't think that that needed money?
Right. It wasn't important enough.
But also, there wasn't somebody in some place in y'all circle that knew, hey, man.
They said local news covered it.
That guy's name is not that guy.
Yeah, local news, local papers covered it. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Honestly.
Don't make a big fuss after the fact.
This is what was upsetting to me about Eric Adams is that it was during the, you know, run. We're like, wait, you don't live there? Wait, that's a fraud. Wait, did you just say that you would stop and frisk? Like, all of those things were happening during the run, and it was being talked about locally and nationally. And then he got anyone anyway.
I don't know what to do, honestly.
Well,
I just know.
We probably shouldn't be saying that because people listen to this show for.
Well, I was going to say, well, you're right. But
I mean, you're not wrong. I also don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we know. We got direction. we have our strategies. But it's really, really tough. Like, it's really tough. what corporate media, what the news is delivering to us feels like just like they're throwing jabs, right? They're throwing jabs to see which way we'll move, what we'll react to. And they just want to keep that game up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't seriously engage with any of those news entities. I really can't. I really can't. I love the reporters and the journalists that are on Twitter. They give me these deep dive threads to look into. And it's like, wait, what? And then what happened? Mm-hmm. And ABC isn't covering this and CNN is ignoring this. Like, I love that stuff, whether it's on the local or national scale. I love hearing about these things that are happening in different states that I would never know is even going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that. But when we're talking about the leaders of our government down on the Hill, which should be the focus of all of these major news organizations. Like, it's literally your job to tell us what they're doing. And you react. You consistently react to things that leak out.
It is interesting to me. Like, I want to hear from the actual journalists that are there.
Oh, man.
Like, what makes it from what they've reported to, you know, their editor,
to Anderson's desk.
What makes it?
Yeah.
Because that's got to be so frustrating to be like, wait, no, I had all those details. Why are you guys acting like?
Right.
What?
Right. Y'all told me this wasn't a story for weeks.
Mm.
And someone breaks, and Variety breaks it.
Really?
Like, come on, man.
Well, so, speaking of breaking things,
yeah.
if we ever get to our news stories, which, you know what? This is News with My Fiance, and we get to do what we want.
Tis.
You remind me of that every time I apologize for doing something that I think I shouldn't. But today we are to talk about, in local news, Tevis, otherwise known as the mayor, Wheeler, and Sam Adams being catty to each other, all in the public.
Wow. For all to see.
For all to see. And, on top of that, the city unveiled a homeless camp database dashboard death wish thing that I think that we should talk about.
That. Yeah. In national news, we have the Born Alive abortion bill bringing that back for you guys. We didn't get a chance to jump into it last week. We did talk about it. We did mention it in the intro. Republican candidate that put a hit on 4 Democrats.
I mean, I'm not laughing at.
Yeah, it's just.
They wild in New Mexico.
They wildin'. And yeah, definitely want to talk about these House committee assignments.
I will tell you this. I do love the, I am so petty. I love.
Give it to me.
I love the infighting of those, like Marjorie out here mad at Matt. Y'all was best friends yesterday. Which one does Matt Gaetz look like? Beavis or Butthead? I can't remember. I never know which one is which.
Beavis. Beavis is the, no. Yeah, Beavis is the brunette.
Is that right? I don't know.
No. Now,
Rudo, where are you? You're
Beavis supposed to is the blonde.
This.
Beavis is the blonde.
Okay.
Beavis is the blonde. Yeah. And it's Beavis.
So yeah, there, Marge is mad, and I love to see it. I love to see it. The whole Kevin McCarthy thing was absolutely hilarious. 15 votes. 15 rounds, fam. Like, that's a fighter right there.
No, we're not going to call Kevin McCarthy a fighter.
Oh, no.
I do know.
Okay.
No, we're not doing that. No. But yes, I too am a fan of the infighting.
It's really fun to watch because it's just like, like Rudo got to the point earlier of they're not playing by the rules, right? And that's exactly how I feel. So they get to control so much when they're unwilling to play by whatever rules that, you know, the Democrats are playing by.
Yeah.
When they step out and they're not in lockstep with each other, it's like, oh boy. Come on, Jerry.
No, that part is fun to watch, I will admit.
Yeah. I do just want to, before we jump into the stories, want to say just another quick good morning to our fiancés.
Yeah.
I guess your phones are put them down, or maybe they're on the charger or something.
I'll say this much. I hope Malcolm's getting some sleep.
I do hope Malcolm's getting some sleep. I also, you know, shout out to Rudo for taking the reins for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Jumped right in.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys talked. Maybe everybody knew.
That's a tag team.
Okay. I like it.
It's possible,
I'm going to believe what I want. So, I don't know. Do you want a national first? Do you want to local? This is.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you this earlier.
But all right. I think I'd like to national first, but maybe, I don't know, which one do you want to start with?
I'll go ahead and start talking about that guy that put a hit out.
Okay.
Because.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa, boy. Solomon Pena, the failed Republican candidate for New Mexico State House, is accused of orchestrating shootings at least 4 New Mexico elected officials' homes. Albuquerque police believe that Pena, who faces 15 criminal charges, including multiple felonies, masterminded a conspiracy and paid 4 accomplices to spray the homes and offices of at least 4 Albuquerque area Democrats with bullets.
Jeez.
Police said Pena met one of his alleged co-conspirators during a 7-year prison term that Pena served for running a burglary ring. One of the alleged accomplices was arrested in Pena's vehicle after officers pulled the car over. Inside, officers also found guns, cash, and hundreds of fentanyl pills.
Unbelievable.
Pena was arrested on Monday by an Albuquerque police SWAT team. He appeared in virtual court yesterday afternoon where he was silent and a judge ruled that he would be denied bond. Pena remains jailed until his next hearing before a different judge. His attorney, Roberta Yurkic, said in an email Wednesday that the allegations against him are merely accusations.
What?
While no one was hurt in the shootings, politicians said the acts of violence left them shaken. Pena also confronted at least 2 of the elected officials about the results of his race, which he claimed was rigged, in favor of his opponent, incumbent Democrat State Representative Miguel P. Garcia. New Mexico State Senator Linda Lopez was another one of those targeted in the shootings, And again, no one was physically injured in the shooting at her home, but bullets ripped through her 10-year-old daughter's bedroom, causing debris to fall on her child. Quote, I thought, what have I brought on my family? Why? Lopez said. I'm wondering why me, why us? According to a police report, Pena was not happy that the shootings did not result in injuries or worse. He allegedly asked his accomplices to shoot lower than the houses and to do so early in the evening when targets would be less likely to be laying down.
Roberta, what do you mean these are merely accusations?
Well, I mean, that's her job. That's literally exactly what a defense attorney is.
There are text massages, okay? This guy has implicated so many people in this plot. Do you think, like...
Well, yes. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that's...
It's their job.
Exactly what they're supposed to do.
I understand.
And especially when you're going to have this much national attention, all these different news crews, you know, all this stuff. I'm more concerned with the key takeaway not being how words become violence. Because this is a person who believed in this entire election denial, you know, this is the big lie and everybody is, you know, out to get, I don't know, MAGA Republicans and yada, yada, yada. And here you are shooting at, I mean, attempting to murder. There's no in between. I don't even like the way that it's being talked about in sort of like a couching, you know, no one was hurt.
Yeah.
There was.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, this would be, it'd be talked about different if we just don't hear the end of the gun violence in Portland, right? We don't hear the end of it. And we don't have this thing happening, right? But nobody's going to be like, we can't, I don't know. I just feel like we're missing the big things in order to do performative small things. Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange to me.
You're right.
This is legitimately the violent words, or, you know, violent words turning into physical violence.
They're acting like this was some controlled exercise. You're right.
Yes.
No, I told, like, I thank you for mentioning that. Because, no, for real, like, well, no one got hurt. Like, all the, you know, the coverage I've seen has been really casual. It's been really casual. And here it is, guys. We have children on the internet handling guns, being coached by their parents. We have a Republican legislator, candidate rather, putting out a hit on the Dems, and then we have insurrectionist deniers. Like, the triangle is there. Like, it's so, you don't need a documentary team for this. I don't even need Vice on the case. The triangle is there.
I think Vice already gave it to us.
Yeah, maybe years ago. And, like, again, we talk about this all the time. The Republicans hand over talking points, hand over home runs to the Dems, and they just sit there. Like, this is a direct line. There's no way to blame Antifa for this. Well, that's what you guys did for the insurrection. You blamed Antifa.
Well, because they were Antifa dressed as. Okay?
I keep forgetting that
part. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I totally...
Come on. Of course they just put on Trump t-shirts. And they definitely are that brand of person. You know? Like, that's exactly... They're not wrong.
You guys, it's unmerciful.
Yeah, it's the funny thing is that anybody then believes that.
Right.
Like, I feel like, you know, it's just the group, the, you know, the Marge is out here like, I'm the leading MAGA Republican or MAGA voice or something. I don't know what she said. You got Marge out here saying that and meaning it.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely meaning it.
And she was like, hey, guys, I'm going to actually go to Washington and do an insurrection. I'm going to talk about the QAnon that I feel like Marjorie Taylor Greene probably does not know how to get on a forum on the internet at all. And, you know, This is not me being like, I don't know. I just don't. I think you got to send her a direct link, or y'all got to be sending her straight up cut and paste.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
No. Same.
But she was trapped, you know, like she fully believed in that thing. I think that we have to stop like focusing on the wrong part of it, you know, like instead of talking about what this actually means and the actual violence of it. They have sensationalized things so much, they being media, where now is it a big deal if they, you know, a couple of houses get shot up? I don't know. Y'all told me that's maybe not that big of a deal.
It sounds like it's not a big deal.
And it's like, we can't gloss over these things. We can't just like not care that the shift has happened. A shift has happened. Trump really changed a lot of things. And I don't mean that like, how'd we let that guy be president? Because that's an obvious question. But, and I don't mean that he changed people's hearts and minds. The things were there. You are not like, you got to understand that you're not an anti-racist person who then all of a sudden is because one guy was like, they're not sending their best. Like, it was there.
The entire time. Yeah.
It was there. It's the expression of it now. And that particular expression, people are fed up with words. And so they are going to violence. And it doesn't matter if they believe they're right in their minds and all those things. Like, the violence is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because we talk about, like, I'm struggling to come up with an example, but my whole point is that we're not talking about how we got here. It is far more about, like, skirting around things. This directly ties to 4 years of a Trump presidency, a year of running before that, and where we are still today, like directly tied to it. And that's not just, it's not just Trump either. Like the Bannons and the Stones and all these people have had their thuggish hands into so many different things for decades.
Right.
Decades. Like, there were militias before, right?
Yes,
there were,
absolutely.
There were white supremacist groups before. There were white nationalist groups before.
Right.
But they're behaving differently now, right? And by that, I mean, when you think the president will pardon you for anything, changes the scope of what you're willing to do in front of people, right?
Yeah, the fact that you're bold enough to ask for the pre-pardon. Like, you're not even admitting that you've done anything and saying, hey, you know, can I get me a pardon? You're saying, in case something comes to light, can we just have a pardon on the table?
A blanket pardon.
Yeah.
Because that even makes, you guys,
you're indicting yourselves.
We're in a bad way.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't contradict myself. I couldn't get my point out there. I hope it made sense. Real quick. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Malcolm.
Yes, that's excellent.
Malcolm said, new job, who this?
Hey.
I have a morning commute now, listening to y'all on the road into work. I don't know if that's a good thing for you. I'm sorry, or congratulations.
So I'm going to go. I'm gonna
meaning
go
the commute part, not the shout out to new job.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, congratulations for the new job.
I'm just, you know, part of me is, like, a commute is not something I'm willing to do anymore.
I feel you.
So I don't know if that, but people are excited for, you know, to get out of their homes to work. So I'm not trying to project my feelings on you.
Malcolm, we wish to you independent wealth. Go play what is it now? The billion, the mega millions and what's the other things that's going on? The pick six.
Are you in Philadelphia?
Scratch it. I don't know what's happening.
The pick six. I mean, that might be a thing. I and I just don't know it.
But you know what is a thing?
What is it?
It's a hard segue. House passes the Born Alive abortion bill. House Republicans are spotlighting the issue of abortion as they roll out their legislative agenda in the new Congress, a move that comes after the Supreme Court's highly consequential decision last summer to overturn the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling. The GOP-led House voted on Wednesday to pass a bill that would require health providers to try to preserve the life of an infant in the rare case that a baby is born alive during or after an attempted abortion.
Waste my time all 2023.
Ooh, the bill is not expected to be taken up in the Democratic-controlled Senate, but passage in the House serves as a messaging opportunity for the new Republican majority. The vote was 2020 to 2010.
Nope.
2020 to 2010. No, 2020 to 2010. Okay. The vote was 2020 to 2010. Under the bill, health providers who fail to comply with the requirements for care could face fines for up to 5 years in prison. They love just throwing out. They just love throwing out that hanging over your head. You can go to jail for this.
Oh, yeah.
The bill would not.
I'm above the law. I don't know what they're talking about.
It'll say that part. The bill would not impose penalties on the mother and would grant the mother protection from any kind of prosecution. Opponents have argued that such measures restrict abortion access by threatening healthcare providers. It's already considered homicide in the U.S. to intentionally kill an infant that is born alive. The decision by the new Republican majority to hold the vote comes after Democrats worked to make abortion a front and center issue during the midterm elections following Roe's reversal. Republicans succeeded in taking back control of the House in the midterms, but a much anticipated red wave failed to materialize, leading to questions and finger pointing within the GOP over exactly which factors played a key role in the outcome. The measure the House voted on, called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Oh, no. No.
I'm sorry.
This is...
I haven't read this since last week, so...
that... What?
I forgot.
Oh, man. This is terrible. All right. The measure the House voted on, called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, was introduced last Monday by Republican Rep. Ann Wagner of Missouri. The House also voted last Wednesday to pass a separate measure condemning recent attacks on pro-life facilities, groups, and churches. Wait, I'm sorry. Condemning recent attacks on pro-life facilities? That's been happening? Okay. Republicans control only a razor-thin majority in the House and divides between moderates and conservatives were on full display in the chaotic, days-long effort to elect Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. Now the new GOP majority faces the challenge of bringing the bills to the floor that will unite, not divide, their conference. And Republicans are attempting to thread the needle. Representative Nancy Mace, a South Carolina Republican who has been a vocal critic of her party's abortion messaging, called on Republican leadership to balance women's rights with the right to life. warning Wednesday that there are political dangers for Republicans who don't find some middle ground on the issue. I've been very vocal, both privately with my leadership and also publicly, May said. This is an issue that we lost on. We buried our heads in the sand after Roe v. Wade, and we lost seats because of this issue. Mace voted for both abortion-related bills that were on the House floor Wednesday, but expressed concern over a potential federal abortion ban if it includes language that requires women to report their rapes or imprisons doctors who provide the procedure. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I give you the year 20 and 23.
Listen, Nance. What are you condemning if you then vote for both of them? What are you upset about? This is chit chat.
Yeah, chit chatter.
I just, you know, here's my thing. Quit wasting my time. Quit wasting my time. Quit wasting my time. You are creating things that do not exist and then trying to legislate that, trying to create laws for things that are not happening. And there are people that are like, I'm going to vote for that person again. Do you know how many of those people are back? Like they that have zero business?
Oh my God.
Zero business? How is Lauren Boebert?
You just, something you just said, I don't know. Like another time stream just opened up and I was able to peer and see.
Okay.
Wow. Something, the way you, I don't, so I'm going to try to put my thoughts together on what you just, what, you, what something that you said
mm-hmm.
that caused the epiphany I'm going through right now.
The wrinkle in time.
Yeah. So again, you were saying it and I'm reading recent attacks on pro-life facilities.
You're making it up.
Not a thing.
You're making it
it's
up.
It's not a thing. And that the base, and I actually, now that I think about it, this is on both sides of the aisle. Constituents would rather be adamant and moved to vote on things that aren't real versus engage with their legislators with serious actual issues that would force them to get involved in the process. I'm really super stuck on attacks on pro-life facilities because certainly there's attacks on pro-choice facilities. Like, certain. But what, pray tell, is even a pro-life facility to be attacked?
Oh, well.
I know it's the fake.
There are crisis clinics. That are just absolutely misleading, harmful, hateful environments. I mean, I just don't really understand how that has even, how we're even in a place that that happens.
Right.
You know? That said, yeah, I think it's very purposeful that our discourse is all around the things that don't matter and that we continuously argue about imaginary things because there is this false, to me it's false, notion that you have to like hear everything out. Like not everything deserves attention. Not everything deserves seriousness. If you are an unserious person doing unserious things, why do I have to take any of the things you're saying seriously? I don't have to spend my brain power on it.
Where
it's a very easily dismissible, you know, for me at this point. I can easily, that's not real, so I'm not going to stick with it. But then that ends up being the thing of the week or all of a sudden an actual bill that actually gets passed.
We really need to get to the bottom of who's setting the rules here. Who's setting the rules of engagement? And this is across different different types of media, different forms of media, different industry. Who is setting the rules and in whose favor does it work? Content creators that a team of content creators that I follow on Instagram, and I had to unfollow one of the hosts for saying this. They were saying, you know, they were rallying for free speech during the conversation. You know, free speech is important. Blah, blah, blah. People should be able to say whatever they want. And then she brought up Andrew Tate. And she said, now, the things that he does, I am totally against. But free speech dictates that we should be able to say whatever we want. And I was like, no. If we cannot clearly identify what is harmful speech, dangerous speech, grooming dangerous behavior, and say, no, I don't want that. If that's a gray area, we have some really, really big issues to handle. Like, seriously. At what point can we trust each other, especially those of us that have platforms, that we're providing a safe space for our audiences when, on the other hand, we're saying, you know, hey, you know, this person should be able to say those things and be able to get away with it. I couldn't imagine, as much as we've been covering things that Dave Chappelle's been saying, things that Kanye West has been saying, we talked about Andrew Tate last week. I couldn't imagine coming away from that, even the R. Kelly situation and Bill Cosby, and saying, you know, separating, doing the separation of art.
Gotta separate that art from that artist.
Yeah.
So I can keep that art.
And putting any of that behind the protections of free speech. Like, understand which group uses that and what they use it for. Understand how racist and oppressive groups use free speech. They don't want free speech to say something nice.
Well,
you know, that's not what they want to use free speech for. They want to be able to antagonize people and rile them up without consequence.
There it is. They you can say what you want, and you can, you know, the government can't step in for what you have said. But there is a very clear difference between free speech, violent speech, and hate speech.
Yeah.
There's also absolutely zero freedom of consequences, and that is what they want.
Right.
So, yes, you can say the things. You may lose your job. You may get punched in the mouth. Like, things, there may be consequences.
It can happen to you.
That is your choice to figure that out and use and exercise your free speech. But we're also not going to act like, you know, that isn't a part of it. That's a part of it, to argue about those things instead of what's actually going on. So again, we're making up stuff. Should Andrew Tate get to say what he wants? He did. We don't ever have to. He should. He did.
Right.
He said the things. And then he did a bunch of things. And he said them so loud and into voice notes and onto text message screens.
Right.
We don't need to talk about his ability to say what he wants.
Right.
It's really like there are conversations that need to be had, but there's misdirections everywhere. And we're not going to actually talk about why an Andrew Tate is so popular and is, you know, we're finding so many boys and men trusting him and wanting to be like and wanting to emulate. Yeah. We need to be talking about that, not if he gets to say what he wants or not, you know? We're in a bad way, because that alone, that whole Andrew Tate situation is words going to violence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people pretending like they don't see that correlation or refusing to see it. I don't know. Maybe stop trying to give people grace.
I got something for you.
Hit me.
It's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors. It's like, do you guys hear yourselves when you say these? When you say these things out in public?
Yeah. And you know what they do? They sit around the table and they're like, got it.
High-fiving each other.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's the one right there. I feel like I'm screaming. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I yelled at y'all.
You chuckled.
I was trying to spend a moment looking for the pregnancy or pro-life thing that you said. the pro-life attack.
Yeah.
And
but I had a little trouble finding that.
Having some trouble. I'm seeing some Fox be doing the work of the devil.
Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna read this headline. You tell me. FBI offers $25,000 reward for info on pro-life pregnancy center attacks, vandalism. Goodbye. I'll see y'all later.
Okay, and that was time for a music break. I'm anxious to hop into some local news.
Well, I got one for you.
Give it to me.
We were just talking about how words can lead to violence. And so with that in mind, there is a dashboard released to track the city's response to reported homeless camps. The city of Portland's homelessness and urban camping incident response team program has launched a new website that will allow Portlanders to see how crews are responding to reported homeless campsites. The dashboard launched on Wednesday and gives the public the ability to see in detail how reports are being handled. This is what happens after someone calls 311 or reports a camp online. Within 3 to 4 days, a team of two will be sent out to the location where a camp was reported. The crew will determine if the camp is high, medium, or low risk by using criteria that incorporate 10 categories, including criminal data, the amount of garbage, the obstruction of ADA walkways, and the amount of drug paraphernalia. The public can see what the campsite is rated on the dashboard with a description of what was found and photos. The camp's location on the map will show when it was posted to be cleaned up and the day it was cleaned. Mayor Ted Wheeler sent Fox 12 a statement about the website. Quote, I am grateful to the IRP and Street Services Coordination Center teams for working to build the valuable resources, which is part of my commitment to good governance, increased transparency, and improved responsiveness to our community. A local business owner that works or that is owns a business near a high-risk campsite in Northwest Portland applauds the city for creating this dashboard so he can track how crews are handling reports. Quote, I think it's fantastic because I think it's a really long time coming. We have a beautiful city, and it's great to get back to that.
This is going to get us back to that. This is going to get us back to that.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. Did you happen to see the story last week that JP Morgan Chase was frauded out of $175 million because they bought a website that doesn't do what they thought it would?
No.
This is very much like, I want to know how much money was spent on this website.
Same.
And a tracking mechanism that was not in existence previously, because we keep talking about not having money to take care of people, not knowing how to handle any of these crises and not knowing where the money comes from. But we find just the most creative ways to spend money to not do something, to not fix it. And this ambush, in my estimation, exacerbates. We have spent a lot of time dividing each other, being divided, mm-hmm. and then dehumanizing the people, the groups of people that you don't fit into. And the fact that we have folks today, right now, thinking that there is, that homelessness is a moral failure, that it is something that if you just got off your lazy butt, and you went and got a job and you learned to be responsible, I don't know, with your money, then pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Why do I have to take care of you? We have that happening right now. Some of the very same people that had the nerve to be marching for Black Lives and marching against police brutality,
right,
voted for more police. Y'all, right. But you want more money going to them. Because you can't understand the correlation of what crime is happening and the word defund. Mm-hmm. Because none of them were defunded, friends. No departments. They weren't. They just weren't. And if there was any money taken away at any point, it has been reinvested many folds over into those same people, into that same
institution.
Thank you. Was trying to really rein my words in there. It's very much that it's the people that are like, hey, we need to you cannot talk about taking care of each other. You cannot talk about mutual aid. You cannot talk, like, there's a lot of co-opting going on of what, how we actually take care of each other and then being weaponized. This dashboard gives direct locations to where houseless people are currently living. And we're supposed to not worry for those folks.
Especially with the animosity mounting against this community.
The animosity, we are seeing words turn to violence very rapidly. We are seeing people do things like start a fire and then blame it on someone else.
Right. Remember, y'all, when Kanye West said slavery was a choice? And we didn't even blink. We were like, this is the most ludicrous thing that has been said. Of course slavery wasn't a choice. Homelessness is a choice. That's how y'all sound. This is how a lot of you sound. Do you honestly think?
I'm not gonna go down that path. No, yes. I'm just, let me just say really quick. Yes. Because it is easier to believe that there is one person who said, I don't want to live by your society's rules. I am going to be homeless. You know, like, I'm not homeless. I sleep outside and I like it. And there's one person that they could have ever heard say that. And that now accounts for the entire population. That now they get to rest on that story of,
true.
See what I'm saying? I told you, it's just they're lazy. They want to lay around and do their drugs.
This is just like, I have the black friend that agrees with
me. Absolutely.
Imagine, though, hearing some of these people frame it like, well, yeah, their life is easy. They don't have to worry about anything. They just get to do their drugs and get their free food. And you know what? Trade spaces. Because you sound really envious. If this is something that you want, if you really think life is that easy for a houseless citizens, I implore you, trade places. I mean, hey, you're right. It's like everyone keeps forgetting that the things that we're watching are people in crisis, people in distress. This is escapism right there. Right there in our faces to see. And all you can do is complain about how it inconveniences you. You don't like them, Jordan? Hop in. In the cold, in the freezing cold. You too go outside and try to make, you know, try to make a way. Like, what are we talking about? You bring up a very good point about how having these locations available for anyone that just wants to, I don't know, ride around and create content, ride around and antagonize these individuals. It's a no for me. I too would like to know how much money was spent on this effort when the things you're supposed to be spending money on are sitting right there. It's like a desk, right? The mayor's desk. There's a box. If you just put money in this one box here, this will solve your crisis. Instead, you're like, who can manufacture me
bring
more
in
boxes?
The other boxes?
This one box is great and all. Can I have like a diamond version of that box? And then I need one that's mahogany, and then I need a steel one. Let's get all these. Let's put some money into creating these boxes.
Yes. It's infuriating. And this specifically, someone has to explain to me why this was a good use of resources. And I don't just mean the money, but the time too.
For real.
This was a good way, you know, just so you could what? Report back to business owners that I got your complaint and that we're going to move on it?
Because if you think this thing is going to be maintained, if you think this thing is going to be accurate, if you think these same business owners and these same citizens that are pestered by this community aren't going to be on your neck for this data, that you do not have the resources to properly supply for this website to even work, if you think you didn't just create another problem, which are we in? Are we on the East Coast, Portland? Which Portland are we in? Mm-hmm. This administration is weak, bro.
They real good at wasting money. They real good at not taking care of people. This is what happens. We absolutely cannot continue to, and Portland has a history of electing a very certain type of mayor. And then complaining about it later.
Ooh, spice.
I mean,
spice on the play.
You just got to remember 52% of white women voted for Trump, and then they came out here in pink hats talking about not my president. But okay.
I do want better for us.
I just want better for all of us. It doesn't need to be a division.
Yeah. You
know? I think everybody should get to have housing. It doesn't matter. I think everybody should be able to go to college if they want to.
Yeah.
Including the rich kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can go for free too. The fact that we have been able to get caught up on the, well, they don't need that, means testing certain things in order to keep it the status quo is absolutely bonkers to me. And we keep doing it. We just invest our time and money in things we know for certain don't work because we just have done it for so long, and then say things like, well, that other thing just doesn't sound too practical.
Right.
I just don't know about that. Giving money directly to people. No. Because they can't be trusted. We can't trust their decision making. But we can trust y'all's. We have no reason to believe that. None. I think that everybody can agree on your politicians don't be doing what they said they would do.
That should be easily relatable for everyone. Yeah.
And something like this is dangerous. I'm just going to keep saying it. There's too, you said resentment. There's too much resentment.
Way too much.
There's too much static. People are not thinking clearly.
There it is.
This is, amped up. And if you're just pause, take a breath, look at the things that we have already seen. Just January 6th alone, right? A lot of those people whipped up.
Yep.
They would not have in under other circumstances. Mm-hmm. But when you give the whirlwind that is, election denial, QAnon, conspiracy theories, being disgruntled, being disenfranchised, feeling marginalized somehow.
Somehow.
You put that all together. And then say, they're coming after us. They're coming to take everything that's important to us. You think you aren't going to make a person who has not been thinking clearly for a while just all of a sudden snap into it?
Right.
No. This creates violence. You got to, the same people that literally spent their entire 2 years previous talking about, basically, it's completely back the blue. There's really no instance in which the police or law enforcement are wrong if they kill somebody.
Right.
Just comply. There is, if you just listened to the police,
you wouldn't have these issues.
You wouldn't have these problems. How dare you be violent towards an officer? Those same people stormed the Capitol.
And fought cops.
And fought the police with batons, with fists, with gates. Spitting. These people, come on. You don't get to be both. It can't. There's a video of some Proud Boys somewhere.
They weren't here?
Sure. I don't think it was here because the police pushed back on them, and they don't do that here.
Whoa.
Hannah Montana.
Whoa.
Can't beat yourself up.
No.
So the police were pushing back on these, this group of Proud Boys, and they're like, hey man, we're with you.
We're on the same team.
We're on the same team, and this is how you're gonna treat us? Just one of the things we've been trying to tell you the whole time. Y'all not on the same team.
Yeah.
any of you that aren't cops, you're not on the same team.
No.
You want to be real bad. You want to be the person that gets to crack some skulls. But you're not on the same team. I don't know. I feel like I've derailed us a lot.
No, there's no derailing. There's no derailing.
I would love to know. And y'all can, we don't have time for a bunch of text messages at this point. So I don't know.
Still send them, because I can check them after.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Send the text messages, hit our DMs, whatever it is. I want to know how you feel about this dashboard. Because it's being reported real celebratory.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately reading it, for me, I felt sick. And I called Ambush and was like, hey, did you hear about this thing? Because
it's alarming.
This is alarming. Am I thinking about this wrong? This feels like violence. You're pinpointing. And then the entire point is not like, now that we've gone out into the community and we have found out where all of these people are living and we are rating, the low, medium, high risk, it isn't to get them services.
No.
It's to decide who they sweep first. Y'all, it's to decide who gets displaced first. How much did this cost?
ladies and gentlemen, listeners of all ages, shapes, and sizes, our leaders are constantly reminding us of how unqualified they are for the positions that we voted them in for. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. The things that we're expressing on this show, again, this isn't like super genius.
Right.
Isn't like,
high level
Reed Richards, we're not coming up with these amazing. The people that are running our city are making choices that go against the advice of community-based organizations, people that are on the ground. They're making choices that benefit that top percent that really doesn't care about the city. But
they don't live in the city.
But use the campaign of, we want old Portland back and we care about Portland and we gotta save our city. They use all of these, all this foolishness. They don't care. And if your city isn't your people, then what are you trying to say?
Hello.
When you say save the city, if you're not talking about the citizens, then what are you saving? Property? Is that what you're saving? Property? Because I want to talk about the people. And not just the people you like, or the people that you know, or the people that shop with your business. Everyone here is important.
But also, which part of old Portland are you looking for? Because it's always the developers. It's always the, business owners that are like, where's old Portland? You tell me.
Yeah, you're the ones creating new Portland, talking about you want old Portland back.
Yo, I don't see, new construction looking like an old Portland home. I don't see a whole bunch of, historic homes in the Irvington being replicated.
Right.
What's the old Portland that you're looking for? We still had gang violence. We still had gun violence. We still had a rampant, explosively open racist police department.
Right.
Violent police department. We still had houseless folks.
Right.
What part is it that you're trying to harken back to?
Don't lie. Just say you want New Portland. You want to be responsible for driving what New Portland is going to be. Just say it. You're listening to X-Ray FM and KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halem and Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at X-Ray.FM.
X-Ray.
And this is News My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Our podcast editor, Kyle G. Shout out to Mako. Shout out to Rudo. Shout out to everyone else that was rocking with us this week.
All our fiancés.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all fiancés. And remember, poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thanks for listening.
Bye.